Thank you. as any fair-sized fattish pig. He smiled and said, "How do you do? Hello, good morning, how are you?" His face somehow reminded me of my sister Emily. The toad said, "Don't you think I'm fine? Admire these lovely legs of mine, and I am sure you've never seen a toad so gloriously green." I said, "So far as I can see, you look just like Aunt Emily." He said, "I bet Aunt Emily can't jump one half as high as me. Hop on my back, young friend," he cried. "I'll take you for a marvelous ride." As I got on, I thought, "Oh, blimey. Oh, dearie me, how wet and slimy." "Sit further back," he said. "That's right. I'm going to jump, so hold on tight." He jumped. Oh, how he jumped. By gum, I thought my final hour had come. My wretched eardrums popped and fizzed. My eyeballs watered. Up we whizzed. I clung on tight. I shouted, "How much further are we going now?" Toad said, his face all wreathed in smiles, "With every jump, it's 50 miles. Quite literally, we jumped all over from Scotland to the cliffs of Dover. Above the cliffs, we stopped for tea. And Toad said, gazing at the sea, "What do you say we take a chance and jump from England into France?" I said, "Oh dear, do you think we ought to? I'd hate to finish in the water." But toads, you'll find, don't give a wink for what we little children think. He didn't bother to reply. He jumped. You should have seen us fly. We simply soared across the sea, the marvelous Mr. Toad and me. Then down we came, and down, and landed in a funny town. We landed hard, in fact we bounced. "We're there, it's France," the toad announced. He said, "You must admit it's grand to jump into a foreign land. No boats, no bicycles, no trains, no cars, no noisy aeroplanes." Just then we heard a fearful shout. "Oh, heavens above," the toad cried out. I turned and saw a frightening sight. On every side, to left, to right, people were running down the road, running at me and Mr. Toad. And every person, man and wife, was brandishing a carving knife. It didn't take me very long to figure there was something wrong. And yet how could a small boy know, for nobody had told me so, that Frenchmen aren't like you or me. They do things very differently. They won't say yards, they call them meters. And they're the most peculiar eaters. A Frenchman frequently regales himself with half a dozen snails. The greedy ones will gulp a score of these foul brutes and ask for more. In many of the best hotels, the people also eat the shells. Imagine that. My stomach turns. One might as well eat slugs or worms. But wait. Read on a little bit. You haven't heard the half of it. These French go even more agog if someone offers them a frog. You'd better fetch a basin quick in case you're going to be sick. The bits of frog they like to eat are thighs and calves and toes and feet. The French will gobble loads and loads of legs, legs up off frogs and toes. They think it's absolutely wonderful to dazzle frogs' legs fried in dinner. That's why the whole town and their wives were rushing us with calf and frogs. They screamed in French, "Well, as you know, what legs there are, but then frog, jump and stoop, clever." What is that one?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm gonna go get some more. something more to it that you can get to. Its possibilities don't exhaust themselves. If people begin living more in a virtual space of sounds and images that have been captured, generated, synthesized, and so on, it's going to be a much shallower environment in some way, especially if people are confused, if they no longer understand that they're giving something up. If they watch all their sunsets on the computer screen. If they watch all their sunsets on the computer screen. If they watch all their sunsets on the computer screen. If they should watch all their sunsets
The virtual is not a substitute for the real, for the real, for the real, for the real, for the real. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Thank you.